Hounds of Heaven. Welcome back again to the David O. Gray Show, Off Code Unscripted on St. Dominic's Media. Hey, the Democrats went from running for president, they went from running a pedophile, a man who took showers with his daughter. They went from running a pedophile, a man who took showers with his daughter, Joe Biden, to now running Cammy from the streets. Street hoe. A street hoe. Listen, I don't know if Kamala Harris is still going through a hoe phase. I hope she's not, right? But they swapped out a pedophile for a woman who's best known for her adulterous relationship with Sweet Willie Brown. We got to talk about this today on the David L. Gray Show, Off Code Unscripted. I'm going completely off code unscripted. Just got a few notes here like I usually do. You know, I'm not a political hack. That's not why you guys follow St. Dominic's Media, but I suppose most of you, because I really don't make, you know, political content. But I tend to have some good instincts about these things. So I wanted to share with you some things that I know you're not going to hear from other Catholic media outlets, or probably even from mainstream outlets, about the real reason why Kamala Harris just can't win. And why the Democrats thought it was still expedient, even though she can't win, why they thought it was expedient to go ahead and run her at the top of the ticket. So that's what we're going to do today on the David L. Gray Show, Off Code, Unscripted. So let's go ahead and let's get into it now. You know, with Democrats, no one is bigger than a party. I mean, that's one thing to admire about them, right? It's never about one person. You know, with the Democrats, you know, it's about Trump. It's Trumpism. It's MAGA, right? It's about they'll fall on a sword. They'll live and die by that. But with Democrats, it's always a team effort. No one is ever bigger than a party. And just like in back in 2016, you know, Joe Biden wanted to run. Barack Obama says, "Hey, guy, don't run. We're going to run Hillary." Right? It's the team. It's a team effort, right? And so the pressure campaign was put on Joe. You know, last time I saw a pressure campaign like this put down, it was probably when I was plunging the toilet, right? You know, the toilet gets a little stuck. You know, you pull out the plunger, plunge some crap down. Otherwise, it's going to overflow. And that's really what happened with the Democrats. The crap was starting to overflow. Joe Biden's crap. And what I mean by overflow, Joe Biden being... First, I should say that Democrats have no problem whatsoever running the invalid. You could be an invalid and still run, and Democrats will still run you. That guy from Pennsylvania, what's his name? Right? He had a stroke. I mean, he was a complete invalid, but they ran him and they won, right? And there was still enough, you know, there was enough margin right there. If the margin is close enough, Democrats can push you over. There's enough just ballots out there hanging around that they'll push you over and they'll get you a win, right? So Democrats, no, they have no problem running an invalid. They've been happy to run Joe Biden. They don't care about that. They'll run an invalid. The thing is that Joe Biden, his crap was starting to run over, right? And they had to plunge it. What I mean by running over was that he was starting to affect the down ballot. They're okay with losing the White House. What they were not okay with losing was the Senate and losing a lot more seats in the House. That's what they couldn't, because that just takes years to recover, right? So that's what they weren't really to take. And so I'm happy to see Joe Biden go. Child molester, heretic, apostate Catholic, probably one of the worst presidents in the history of the United States. Just good riddance to the Bidens. I'm glad to see him step down. Hopefully he resigns. And that's really what the Trump and the MAGA team, they're doing at this point. They're not going to focus on Kamala Harris. They're not running against her. They're running against Joe Biden and his record. So notice he steps down. He resigns from the campaign. He nominates or he endorses Kamala Harris. And notice how the Trump campaign, they're not really even saying anything about her. They're still focused on Joe Biden. Like, hey, you have to step down for the presidency altogether. If you're not qualified and capable to run for president, re-election, you're not qualified to lead this country. So that's their transition. That's their shift. And I think it's really brilliant. Don't run against Kamala. Run against Joe. So that's what they're doing. But I want to get into first, real quick. Why did Joe Biden step down from the race? Well, again, first of all, his crap was rolling over, right? And they just had to plunge this toilet, try to get this thing to flush, right? So he was affecting down ballots. Again, it was one thing for him to lose, but they weren't going to take this just massive hit down ballot. If people aren't coming out for Joe, they're not coming out for Republicans altogether. There's just no enthusiasm to get Republicans in. And so that's what they saw. The second reason why Joe had to step down, because the margin was too big to cheat. The margin was too big to cheat. Democrats, again, they don't mind running invalids. They don't. They'll run an invalid all day, every day. They're happy to. But when you're losing by this significant amount of margins, this significant amount of percentages in nearly every state, even New York is competitive right now. New York, the state of New York. In some polls, California is competitive with Biden and Trump. What? California's competitive? California's a swing state? Are you serious? Oregon's a swing state? New Hampshire and Vermont, swing states? You got to be out your mind, all right? And so when you're losing by that much in so many states, the margin is just too big to cheat. There just isn't enough trees out here to print up ballots and harvest them. There's just not enough ineligible voters, illegal voters, to find enough illegal votes, invalid votes, fake votes, ballot harvesting, just all that stuff they can do to win an election. There's just not that much paper. There's not just that much. You just can't cheat that much. Not when California is looking like a swing state. Not when it's like, where do you focus your cheating? It's easy in a scenario like maybe like a 2020 where, you know, you can look at Fulton County in Georgia. You could look at the Detroit metro area. You could look at Philadelphia. You just had to really cheat in three places. Three. 2024? You tell me you got to cheat in LA? No, that's too big. So, again, they don't mind running an invalid. They don't even mind running someone that's polling really bad. But not this bad. Cheating was not this. So Joe Biden had to get off the ticket because the statistical margin can only be within about 2 percentage points in just a few places for them to push people over the edge, right? So those are the main two reasons Joe Biden had to step down from his campaign, right? Again, number one, because the crap was overflowing. He was affecting down ballot races. Number two, because the margin is just too big to cheat. California can't be in play. New York can't be in play. But now I think the more interesting thing in this whole thing is why Kamala Harris? Because they have been talking about this. Like, should we skip over her? Should we nominate? Should we make this an open convention? What should we do? So why did it come to the point where Joe Biden, he endorsed Kamala Harris? Let me run down these reasons. The first one, he had to. He had to. He didn't have a choice in a way, because the liberal black women in the cities, the ones who put Democrats in power in every city, the liberal black women, the ones right now who are having just a conniption fit over Project 2025, right? You talk to any black liberal women woman in any city, only thing they want to talk about is Project 2025. Because they fall so easily for scare tactics, right? These women are not women who are protected. They tend not to have like stable relationships and men, a man. So they look at the Democratic Party as their man. And any time the Democratic Party tells a black liberal woman, hey, you should be scared of this, they instantly become scared of this, right? So Project 2025, which is, you know, these think tanks or whatever, they always put out papers, right? Somebody got a hold of something called Project 2025, scare black women with it. And it's kind of sad, right? So the liberal black women who are scared of Project 2025 right now, if Kamala Harris got skipped over, they would have burnt down Chicago, Detroit, and D.C. overnight. Now, wait. I know what you're saying. But David Gray, Kamala Harris ain't black. She ain't black. No, she's not a black American, right? Her mom is Indian. Like, you know, the dot on the forehead, Indian. And her dad is Jamaican. He's Jamaican. He's from Jamaica. He's from the, you know, he's from Kingston. You know, he speaks like this, man. And so, mom is Indian. Dad is Jamaican. What does that make Kamala Harris? Well, first of all, it makes her a human. You know, we're not our ethnicity. We're not our culture. There's no such thing as race, right? That's just a social construct. But in the lower language, what does that make her? Oh, it just makes her half Indian, half Jamaican, right? But even though she's not really a black American, so to speak, she's not from the culture. She's not born in the culture of black Americans, never really lived there, right? Here's the thing. Even though she's what do you call them, FBAs, you know, people who were actually black Americans actually born here, even though she's not one of them, even though the FBAs will call her a tether, Kamala Harris does a lot of culturally black things, right? She does. She does what a lot of people who are not actually culturally black. She does the thing that they all do, the thing that I did when I was young. When you're not really culturally black, but you want to learn how to be black, what do? You go to historically black college and spend 4 years there and you study what it means to be black. You learn how to be black. And this is what she did when she went to Hampton. Hampton is what's called a historically black college university, a HBCU. It's like the one I went to, where I spent 4 or 5 years learning how to be a black person, did everything black, right? And then you graduate black, right? You're a member of the culture. You can speak the language. You have friends that are culturally black. You have a resume that's culturally black. And this is what Kamala Harris did. She went to a premier HBCU, Hampton University. She joined the oldest sorority for women in the black American culture, Alpha Kappa Alpha Incorporated. She joined the undergraduate Greek letter sorority. So she fit the bill just from that point. She did two of the most black things you could do to put on your resume. Went to HU, joined Alpha Kappa Alpha. And she has a complexion. And that's where she learned how to talk. You know, when Kamala Harris talks black, so to speak, you know, she has a little swag. You know, she says things like, oh, girlfriend, you know, she does all these things, right? That's where she learned it. That's where she got her black card at, Hampton University. All right. So, yeah, and she does other things, you know, like culturally that the liberal black women be like, oh yeah, she's one of us, girl. You know, she smokes weed. She smoked weed in the past, right? She had an adulterous relationship with a married man named Willie Brown in the 80s and the early 90s, right? During their adulterous relationship, get this. This is amazing. I hope Donald Trump brings this up. During their adulterous relationship, they actually flew on Donald Trump's plane. They flew on the Trump's plane. Her and her Willie Brown, who is still married, sweet Willie, they're in this adulterous relationship. And they took a plane, Trump's plane. I don't know if he's on it or not. Hope this comes out. Remember Trump in the debate with Hillary? Like, oh, yeah, I gave her money. I gave it to her campaign. Hope he brings up in a debate with Cammy. Oh, yeah, you and Willie Brown, remember? You guys are on my plane. You and Sweet Willie, tearing it up on the Trump plane. So they flew on Trump's plane from Boston to New York. All right. Let me show you the article just so you guys don't think I'm bluffing. Here it is. New LA Times. This is from a few years ago, 2021. Right. And one of the most surprising details that you wrote about, this is the interview that was going on, this person who covered Kamala Harris. One of the most surprising details that you wrote about was in the era when Kamala Harris was dating Assembly Speaker and San Francisco Mayor Sweet Willie Brown in the mid-90s and ended up flying with him on Trump's plane from Boston to New York. Kamala Harris, Cammy, running for president of the United States. Right here in her past, when she's going through her hoe phase, which all, you know, Alpha Kappa Alphas, and I should say this, right? You know, disclaimer, you know, when I got to college, university, you know, I love AKs, Alpha Kappa Alphas. My first girlfriend, Alpha Kappa Alpha. And I just always just had a thing for him, right? Just even a woman I ended up marrying. You know, we met in college and, you know, she told me when we first got together, I said, hey, you going to join a sorority? She said, yeah, I'm going to become an Alpha Kappa Alpha. And I said, yes, we can keep dating because I only date Alpha Kappa Alphas. That's my thing, right? It's just something about them. But to be honest, and if we're going to be honest about AKAs, they all go through a hoe phase. They do. Ask an AKA in your life, have you went through your hoe phase? She's either in it now, or she went through it, or she's about to. It's just something in just, I don't know, something in their initiation ritual, something when they do that little thing when they always look in the mirror when they're doing their little step, and that hoe looks back at them. I don't know. And they say, oh, I want to be that hoe. All Alpha Kappa Alphas, they all go through a hoe phase. They do. Cammy went through her whole phase right here. Hopefully she's out of it. But yeah, I just find it amazing that she and Sweet Willie Brown, that she's having an adulterous relationship with, flew on Donald Trump's plane. Now she's running against them. I find that amazing. And really, I guess politics is just kind of like Young and Restless, right? It's just like a small thing. You know, like, you know, Young and Restless, everybody's sleeping with each other, marrying each other. All these weird things are going on. This also talks about when Kimberly Guilfoyle, who was previously married to future Governor Gavin Newsom, is now dating. Are they married now? She's with Donald Trump Jr. It just... Politics is just a small world, right? Just a small world. But that's what's going on. Weed smoking, hoe phase, Cammy. Yeah, she does all the black things. Smokes a little weed. Don't know if she ever had an abortion, but she campaigned at Planned Parenthood right inside of an abortion meal. She's campaigning inside. She's the first person of a major ticket to openly campaign at an abortion where they kill babies. Don't know if she had one, but you don't do anything like that unless you really believe in a product. You know, you don't do stuff like that unless you tested the product. So even though she's not culturally black, you see she checks all the boxes for the whole DEI, right? She appears black. She's a woman, right? But for Democrats, the prototypical black woman can only go so far, right? You can You can join the sororities. You can go to the HBCU. But one thing you can never do to move up in a Democratic Party as a black woman, you can never marry a black man. You can't marry someone like me, right? Someone who appears to be culturally black. No, you can never do that. Never do that. So this is why you see the acceptable culturally black woman or posing as culturally black woman for the Democrats is always married to a man that is not culturally black, like Ketanji Jackson Brown, Brown Jackson, Supreme Court Justice. Corinne Jean-Pierre, right? The prototypical black woman, lesbian. And Kami Harris married to an Ashkenazi Jew and childless, right? So that's the type of woman. So Democrats want to say, hey, yeah, we're diverse. We have all these black women, but, you know, they're like NFL athletes, right? They just don't. They can only go so far. So that's the first reason why the Democrats had to choose Kami, because if they didn't, the liberal black women would have a conniption fit because they think Kami is one of them. The second reason, because they don't think that she'll hurt the down ballot as much as Joe. Kami's not going to win, but they think that more people may turn out for her than they would Joe. So they have a better chance with her down ballot. The third reason, which I think is really the most important reason, the reason why they chose her and rather than skipping over her with someone like Gavin Newsom or Gretchen Whitmer, is that they have to sacrifice her. The Democrats are sacrificing Kami. Because again, they know she can't win. But it's better to get her out the way now by giving her, they're only giving her 2 months to campaign and to raise a lot of money. She only has 2 months, all of August, all of September. And I think maybe not even all of September. People can start casting their early ballots, I think in some places, early September. So she may only have really 1 month to campaign before people can start sending in those absentee ballots. And to close a gap like this in this many states, that's almost like Mission Impossible. So they know she can't win, but they're sacrificing her. So it's better to get her out the way now, so that in 2028, they can run someone like Gavin Newsom. They can run someone like Gretchen Whitmer. So only thing that we're trying to do right now with Kami is mitigate losses. That's it. Mitigate losses. But the prime reason, again, because they can't skip over her. So, but why can't she win? I mean, why can't she win? Yeah, she only has really 1 month to campaign. She has to close the gap in a lot of places. She has to raise money. She has to work this thing every day. Every day she has to work this thing. Again, she has 2 months to raise money, and it's crazy. In the optics, I think won't make it look better. I mean, the Democrats look like they're in chaos. They look like a mess. That's no way to pull independents, whoever these people are. It's no way to pull them in. But let me tell you why she can't win. Besides the money, the time thing. And Hillary came close to winning, right? So we're talking about, let's use Hillary as a comp. Now, I don't think, you know, America is some sort of racist country, right? I think there are some people who have bought into this weird thing, the social race construct, and actually think humans, you know, that your skin colors, your DNA and stuff like that. But the same women who voted for Hillary, let's be honest about this. There are a percentage of them who have bought into the social construct we call race. There are enough of them who are not interested in seeing someone like Kami be the first female president. They want a female president, but it ain't gonna be Kami. it's not going to be her in from their perspective, not just because there's a subset of them that are race essentialists who have bought into the social race construct, and you know they hold that of some value, and they don't want to see someone who looks like Cammy be the first president. But also there's the merits. There's another group of people who voted for Hillary Clinton who are not going to vote for Kamala Harris because they don't see her as having earned it. Your merit voters who look at someone like Hillary Clinton and see she was all these years as a first lady and she is active and actually being part of the Clinton-Gore administration, you know, trying to pass health care and all this stuff. They look at her time as Secretary of State. And her the work she'd done did with the Clinton Foundation. So they see her as someone who had some merit. Secretary of State, First Lady. They don't look at Kamala Harris the same way. Like, what was she? A prosecutor? A senator? She really doesn't have the chops, right? She has limited experience. Yeah, she's been vice president, but she seems to have failed at everything she's done. So that subset of women who voted for Hillary because of Hillary had experience are not going to turn around and say, oh yeah, Kamala has equal amount of experience, right? She can't win because men are just turned off from her. It's not just her cackle laugh, the reason why men are turned off. It's just everything. It's the adulterous relationship with Sweet Willie Brown. It's the fact that she's childless. And it's not the fact, you know, that she's childless. It's the fact that for her, there's no evidence that there's anything biologically wrong. There's not some sort of struggle with getting pregnant. She just seems to have chosen not to be a mother. And men, just biologically, men tend to like women who do have that mother instinct, right? Even if they don't have children, there's women who just have that mother nurturing thing. They tend not to be women who campaign at Planned Parenthood, right? And go through these hoe phases, right? Just biologically, you know, this even goes back to, you know, why are men attracted to women who have bigger breasts or bigger butts? It's not because, you know, aesthetically, we think that's, you know, it's not something that we come out of the womb as men like, oh, I like big things. No, it's not that. Oh, I like curves. No, it's not that. Innately, men gravitate towards women more often who look like they are ready for birthing, right? So women with the wider hips, women with the bigger breasts, the bigger butt, they just look like they can have our children, right? And so innately men gravitate towards those things. So men don't gravitate towards Kamala Harris. Some men obviously think she's attractive, she has the hair, she has someone likes this nice smile, whatever, but the cackle laugh, she seems to be demonically childless. And her husband, men don't like Kamala Harris because we don't like her husband. Her husband just seems a bit effeminate. Remember when he kissed Jill Biden on the mouth? I made a video about that. You can find it on the channel. He kissed Jill Biden on the mouth. He just seems a bit effeminate, right? And it's not any sort of like anti-Jewish thing there, you know. But he just seems effeminate. Right, we just don't know him. And I think men we're okay with there being a first man and there being a, you know, if I was a person who still believed in voting, I would vote for a woman for president. You know, the right woman. I have no problem with that. I think women can lead. I've had women supervisors. No problem whatsoever. But it has to be the whole package, I think, to assuage some of the concerns that men would have. One of them, it's like the first man. Who is this guy? Do I identify with him? Not Cammy's husband. He just seems to be a bit effeminate. He seems to be a little bit loose in the wrists. I think a lot of men were okay with Bill Clinton being the first man, right? Because, you know, men knew Bill. For some men who are okay with Democrats, you know, Bill seems to be a guy, right? So not Cammy's husband. So, but that's why she can't win. Cammy can't win again. Just, I don't think time is on her side. Money is not on her side. The Democrats, because they're sacrificing her, they really don't want her to win. They're not really going to go all in for her. They're not. They're going to look like they are, but they're not, because they're just sacrificing her. They're okay with losing 24. They're really gearing up for 2028. And because Cammy can't win against Trump, she's not going to be considered again. So they're going to be completely done with her, right? And the same women, and she can't win because the same women who voted for Hillary just aren't going to vote for her. They just aren't. So that's my instincts. Again, I'm not a political hack. No, my thing is theology, liturgy. But I have an instinct about these things. And those are my thoughts about why she was nominated, why Joe had to leave. And why she can't win, right? The liberal black women, you know, I think a lot of them will vote for her, because a liberal black woman in the city, she'll do anything the Democrats tell her to do because that's her husband, right? But she can't get the black male vote. You know, the black men have already been gravitating towards Trump more and more. And black men don't like Kamala Harris just because when she's a prosecutor, a lot of black men are like, hey, she locked up a lot of black men. I don't know really how that jives, because Joe Biden really did the same thing. He's in the Senate. So those same black men who didn't vote for Joe are not going to vote for her. And even maybe more. Right. I don't really follow that logic either, because I think largely if you don't do illegal things, you won't get caught up in legal systems, you know, probably 90% of the time, maybe higher. I don't know. So I'm not upset with her prosecuting people on weed charges or crack charges or whatever. Don't have weed and crack if it's illegal. Right? If you get caught up, that's on you. Okay. If you're not 90% who actually, I think maybe there is 10% entrapment. Entrapment is a real thing. But largely, don't do a crime, you have a better chance not being charged with a crime. So I'm not really with that complaint. But there are a lot of men who look at Kamala Harris and like, hey, she locked up the brothers, we're not voting for her. So, but yeah, Democrats are getting Kamala Harris out of way until for 2018. And that's when they'll run Gavin Newsom, Gretchen Whitmer, and whoever comes along. So that's my thoughts. Dan asks, do you think that we replace her at the convention? I don't think so. Again, I think they're really looking at, I don't know who can win with 2 months through campaign. Campaigning for president is like a 2-year, 3-year thing. So they're expected to put a new person in, and in 2 months, raise millions of dollars, organize. I mean, from the little things, I mean, incurring more debt, all these Biden Harris signs. I mean, it's like a complete overhaul, staffing. So much needs to be done. You know, when I worked for Mitt Romney's campaign, I saw just how much work goes into like the local level of gearing up a campaign and then actually executing, from the staffing to the resources to the offices. I think all that is, a lot of that's in place, but the messaging that needs to take place, and again, the money to get, you know, boots on the ground. I don't know who can accomplish. So I don't know why they would replace, why they would set someone else up to fail, other than setting the person up to fail who they want to get out the way. So, yeah. John says, Cammy. I'll just say Cammy. I don't know how you pronounce her name, right? And since she wants to be black, she wants to be culturally black, and you know, her culturally black way to pronounce her name would be Kamala. We all know a lot of Kamalas. It's not Kamala, right? That sounds a little bit Indian, right? So so maybe it's her Indian thing that she wants to pronounce the name Indian, Kamala, but then act culturally black. I don't get it. I'll just call you Cammy. Yeah, she want to lock up Trump. Yeah, Dan, I agree, man. The money, I just don't think that's I don't think enough people are excited about Kamala Harris to drop all the money. I know she's from California. I know she has the in with the Hollywood crowd. She's going to raise some money, but man, it's no way to close the gap with what Trump is raising right now. All right. And Trump took a bullet for this country, right? Cole says she seems to be disconnected with no relation to common society. I think anyone can smell. Yeah, she's fake. She's a fake a mile away. She's from the streets. All right. Cammy from the streets, right? She'll just do anything to appease anyone. She's fake. She's from the streets. She has that street mentality. What can I do to get over next? Who is she? Is she the person Sweet Willie Brown knew? Is she the person her husband know now? I mean, who is she? Right? We don't know. Right? She's not personable. I don't get the appeal, right? I don't get the appeal. John says, for at least 2 years, I've been saying Biden will not be the candidate. It will not be Kamala. He says, I think it may be Newsom. He's one of their best liars alive. Yeah, I think Newsom should pass. Newsom should say no, like, I'm good. I'll chill until 2028. Which means he'll start campaigning in 2026. He'll start campaigning in like 2 years. So I would pass if I would. This is a fail. Who can beat Trump? I mean, fairly. And again, the margins are too wide to cheat. In 2020 in Detroit, you just had to really come up with about, 75,000 ballots in the middle of the night. 2024, you're going to need about 500,000 ballots. 500,000. That's just for the city of Detroit. The margins are just too wide to cheat. In Philadelphia, you're going to have to find another 300,000. You want to try to win Atlanta again? It's not enough mules to carry ballots. You're going to need a good million ballots just in Atlanta. For the men who I talked to in Atlanta, like black men I talked to in Atlanta, black women in Atlanta, I know they're all voting for Democrat, right? Because they're scared of Project 2025. But a lot of the black men I know in Atlanta, they're all voting for Trump. You're going to need about a million ballots in Atlanta this year. You're going to need ballots in New York City. Gavin Newsom's just passed. You can't cheat your way to this one. Roe Raddick says, I think Joe will be upset when he finds out. Oh my gosh, you're right about that. You're right about that. Because they say he'll make a speech later on this week. All right, so Joe has a version of the flu right now. You know, that one flu that, you know, Pope Francis said we should take a vaccine for. He has that right now. He's in a bunker. I don't know, Kenny Bunkport or whatever, where he's at. Delaware, whatever. And this statement comes out. We don't even know it's from Joe. Who wrote this? Did he really endorse Kamala? Did he really endorse Cammy? Yeah. I don't know. Something doesn't smell right, right? But we will find out. Hey, Brianna. Hey, friend. All right, my friends. Appreciate you. thanks for tuning in. Let me get out of here. Just my thoughts, man. I could be completely wrong about this whole thing, but I thought I might share what I think with you. And so, I guess in just a 6 or 8 weeks, we'll find out where I was wrong, where I was right, where you were wrong, where you were right, and we will see how this whole thing turns out. I'll tell you one thing. If anything else, it's just entertaining, right? I'm out here. God bless you. See you next time. Remember, Jesus loves you and is there for you. So live your life like salvation matters. God bless.